For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is Sun Belt Commissioner Keith Gill, and I listen to the Fun Belt Podcast.
This is the Fun Belt Podcast, part of the Believe Network.
Folks, to Dusty Thibodeau of Warhawk Report, Jeremy Harper of Howlraiser, and Shane Metlin of the Daily News Record.
I think it's potentially a very good week for the Sun Belt.
But I'm just kind of going off on a random rant. It's just frustrating. It's
Welcome back, Fun Belt Podcast. The guys are all here. Shane's looking great. He's wearing a cap. You can't see, but I can. Tibbs, looks like he needs a haircut. That's all right. I'm wearing my robe, so you guys can all envision this. Welcome back, guys. A lot of stuff not going on in the Sun Belt right now. But here's something wacky, guys, before we have our first and only guest. It has been announced by the NCAA, I guess the NCAA, that teams are now permitted to put corporate logos on the field and according to Tibbs, also on the jerseys. What is that going to mean, guys?
I have a channeling of my inner NASCAR where in the post game we have General Booty wanting to thank God, Chase Bank for the red zone touchdown, as well as the Capital One play of the game, and not to be outdone, label out with the Coke bottle for the Powerade as he takes a swig post game.
Yeah, it's like I'm all for the Olive Garden unlimited breadstick red zone. Like, I'm all for that. I just bring it on. Shane, do you see like James Madison really taking on these corporate sponsors, like just grabbing them in?
I'm sure they'll try. I'm guessing everybody will try to do it. Who's available for the Group of Five and the Sun Belt, I think will be interesting to see. And like, will we all go after local businesses, or is there enough eyeballs on Sun Belt football each weekend that we're going to get national chains coming in to sponsor the 50-yard line? Or I'm curious how it's going to work. For
it kind of reminds me of Rocky when his friend Paulie sells the back of his robe to the meatpacking plant, and that was his sponsor, the meatpacking plant. I imagine we'll get some of those type of things.
Bell Bonds.
What?
Chico Bell Bonds.
Yeah. One of the biggest businesses in Jonesboro is Bell Bonds. I could see that being a great sponsor for our.
I can tell you in light of recent news, it will not be Impossible Burgers, because you will get banned from the hot dog eating contest by Nathan's.
Yeah, and I, you know what? I've seen the headlines. I don't care. Like that whole that whole community, the hot dog eating community, they're just nuts for Joey Chestnut and the other guy. I don't give a shit. But I can't imagine, like, just Joey Chestnut going, you know what, Nathan's Hot Dog, it's been a great run. You made me famous. Thank you very much. But now I'm going to him. It was it Impossible Meats, Impossible whatever. Why? Why would you do that to them? What was the rift?
I'd like to think, though, you talked about logos on the jersey. Maybe your offensive line is the Impossible Foods logo. Your quarterback has maybe the 5-minute oil change place. The receivers, you know, Raising Cane's or Heinz ketchup, whatever. And then your defensive backs in the secondary. That's where the good old Chico Bailbonds comes in.
I didn't even think about that, though, that if you're an individual player, can you put on a patch for whatever NIL sponsorship that you have?
And then, are you going against the grain if the school is a Coke school? But you know what? Pepsi sponsors you, buddy.
Oh, that's going to be rough. Yeah, that's going to be tough. That is going to be a something that you, Shane, and I will not have to untangle. Thank God. BetOnline is not only my favorite source of online betting, it is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. But there is something that we can untangle now, which is big news. Out of the Sun Belt, well, at least out of Arkansas State. It is for us. It's for us Arkansas State guys who have been waiting a long time for some movement, some kind of action, some sort of commitment, some sort of positive note to come out.
Is this where you're flipping to be a Razorback, Jeremy?
That's never going to happen. Ever. I don't even like you implying like something that can happen. My reputation, my honor are at stake. It would just take a quick edit of that soundbite for me to be in a lot of trouble. Don't do that to me. Don't bring that voodoo onto me. No. I'm talking about Arkansas State baseball. Today, they made a big commitment. They didn't hire some intern. They didn't, like, grab some high school baseball coach assistant and said, hey, you got to bring your own lawnmower. You got to bring your own bucket of balls. But we're going to make you head coach of the baseball team. They brought in a bona fide baseball coach, a coach who has been to the NCAA tournament for the last 2 years running now, a guy who knows how to win. His name's Mike Silva. He's from your neck of the woods, Tibbs, from Louisiana, Nichols. And we've brought in an expert to bring it all into glorious focus. Everybody say hello to Kara Ritchie of the Ticket Network. Hello, Kara.
Hello, guys.
And I don't want you implying that we called you like just 2 minutes ago to be on the show. You were a scheduled guest for a long time.
No. It wasn't 2 minutes. It was closer to 47 seconds. So if I get some of the facts incorrect on Silva, I apologize. I knew that I was going to be doing this podcast. Literally, you know, I was in the middle of watering my yard. That's when I found out I would be a guest tonight. So I will do my best. We've talked about it all day. I think I'm ready to go. But again, just wanted to throw out that disclaimer before we get started.
Kara, first of all, first and foremost, we are the leaders of Sunbelt misinformation. So anything that you get wrong is just on brand with our brand. So Okay. Be free to come up with the worst. But just 30,000-foot view, tell us a little bit about Mike Silva.
I love this hire. He has been successful everywhere he's been. And he's been a little bit of a journeyman, I guess you could say. I think he referred to himself as a grinder. But he's got, you know, he's, I'd like, obviously the success that he had at Nichols. You look at what he did at Nichols. You look at what he did his 1 year at Galveston College, and he's been able to get places, to have success that hadn't really had a lot of success before that. He's gone, of course, back-to-back NCAA regionals. I think the year before last in 2023 is when they won the regular season Southland Conference title. That was the first time that had happened in their program history. They upset number one LSU that year. They went to the NCAA regional for the first time in 25 years. His very first head coaching stop was back at Clarendon College, which I think is a Texas JUCO. Had success there, won 111 games over 3 years. Departed there, went to Galveston College for a year. They had won 6 games the season before he got there, and they won, I can't remember if it was 23 or 28, but it was the first time they'd had a winning season in over 13 years. So just every place he's been able to elevate that program from what they were the year prior. And I think he checks a lot of boxes for Arkansas State.
Well, speaking of checking boxes, and I think there is some trepidation amongst the fan base that baseball is sort of the very distant cousin to everybody else, the mistreated stepchild of everything else. Now you hire a guy who has a pedigree, who has some standards. Does that mean Arkansas State baseball is now now serious about joining this robust Sun Belt baseball community?
I mean, I think I think that's what it implies, because if you're Mike Silva, who I have not met yet or ever had a conversation with, I can't wrap my head around leaving a program that you've already established to go to a place that is not going to have things in place to allow you to be successful. He didn't have to leave Nichols. Last year, he got a contract extension until 2029. He was set there. There will be other opportunities if he continues to win. But obviously something he heard from Arkansas State leadership made him feel like this was worth the gamble of leaving a program where he could make it to the NCAA tournament and going head to one that does not have that record of success. So clearly to me, this means there are things behind the scenes that are actually happening. I understand the hesitation of the A-State fan base to get on board, because there have been renderings of updates to the TOM since like 2014, and they have just never come to fruition. I can't remember what I was looking at, but I was going back and I think I was looking at some stuff on Mike Sirianni, who was at one point in time rumored to be in the mix. He's an A-State alum. He's a Nebraska assistant. But I was going back and I found an old article from 2006 from the Jonesboro Sun covering Arkansas State baseball. And then head coach Keith Kessinger was talking about losing assistants, because he was like, man, you know, if we don't get the funding to keep these assistants, then we can't have a good program. We can't have success. That article was from 2006. So you're looking at like 20 years where the support has not been there. And I know it goes back further than that. So I can understand, again, any hesitation for anybody who follows Arkansas State Athletics to jump on board here with a new baseball vision with both feet. But I think it's coming.
So you got your guy. You got the leader of the club that's made for you and me. What's the expectations in year one, though, Kara? I mean, is this, if you go Golden Sombrero Ofer, is it like, well, we look good at least? Or is there an expectation that, hey, maybe we're not dead last in the league, we're next to last, but it's a sign of improvement?
You know, I think expectations for year one would be to get back in the Sun Belt Conference tournament, because that's not like a crazy high bar. We're not talking about competing with Louisiana and with these teams that just went to the NCAA tournament in year one. But this is an A-State program that has not been to Montgomery since the tournament was moved there. So that's step one. And you just got to be in the top 10 to do that, right? So again, you're not having to have some crazy win-loss percentage, but and I don't know if that's realistic. We'll find out in the next couple of months as he builds his staff and as he builds his roster. But I think that would be a nice thing to be able to check off the list in year one.
So were you surprised at all that they seem to actually be investing in baseball now, or were you kind of expecting more of the same with this hire?
Yes and no. Coming when Jeff Purinton was hired, he knew coming in, this was the big thing. This was going to be the ordeal. This had to be taken care of from a because the A-State baseball student athletes have gotten the shit into the stick, right? Like they have not been put in a, they have not been given the tools to succeed for years and years and years and years and years. You know, your track and field athletes have, your bowling athletes have, your football, your basketball, volleyball, they have the equipment they need. They're on par with their peers around the league, and baseball is not, just so significantly underfunded. So again, this leadership, this administration knew coming in, they had to tackle this in some way, shape or form. There've been times where I wanted it to go quicker, because we're still today talking about speculation right now, this moment. You know, we haven't seen financial details unveiled for turf or anything like that, or any NIL fundraising or anything like that. But I'm not surprised. I've been impatient, but I think there are good things coming here that fans should start allowing themselves to slowly but surely get excited about.
Kara, do you think that seeing a success like from JMU, for instance, who isn't known as a baseball powerhouse, but after a few years in the Sun Belt, managed to have this really good team and managed to compete in the NCAAs, or just seeing these other programs get that spotlight that's just so hard to get now in football, which we put Arkansas State put a lot of money and time into. Do you think there is some pressure amongst Sun Belt schools in general, and specifically Arkansas State, to pay more attention to baseball in order to get that limelight?
I mean, I think the pressure comes right from the top. I'm highly doubt that coaches and leadership around the league, in terms of ADs, are thrilled that when they play Arkansas State, who has an RPI close to 200, if they lose a game, then they have possibly tanked an opportunity for an at-large bid. But I think there's been some pressure from the leadership of the Sun Belt for A-State to get its act together. And I mean that primarily in terms of facilities. If you go back to the 2023 season, there was a weekend when JMU was in town. And of course, it was a Sun Belt series, so slated for three games. And the Friday night that the series was supposed to start, it rained and it rained and it rained and it rained. And there's no drainage at the time. So what happened on Saturday? Saturday, gorgeous, sunny day. Certainly nothing falling from the sky that should make you unable to play baseball, and they couldn't play the games. So it was going to be a doubleheader on Saturday, one game on Sunday. They were able to get one game in a three-game series, and that's just unacceptable in a league that prizes baseball the way they do, prides themselves on. I don't know what word I was looking for there. Anyway, yeah, it was just blending it all in together. Additionally, you know, I flash back to last Sun Belt Media Day, for football in New Orleans, and we had Keith Gill on the show, and we were talking about everything, not just football related, and brought up baseball because of the success there in the league, and asked him, you know, baseball has already established itself as one of the top conferences around the country, but what do you have to do to continue to take that next step? And he mentioned, he didn't single out Arkansas State, but he mentioned, hey, you know, we don't have to worry about like the Coastals and the Southern Miss and the Louisianas of the world. It's not that they have to get better. It's the teams that are at the bottom of the Sun Belt that have to step it up a little bit, because then it elevates the entire league. And again, and I'm doing a poor job of paraphrasing. And again, he did not say, you know, get it together, Arkansas State, but it was kind of just like, oh, okay. So this means A-State needs to do better.
Yeah, it kind of like he said, exactly. You guys need to get your shit together. Speaking of Sun Belt Media Days, I know that Tibbs is going to be there. Shane is claiming that he's going to try to be there. Are you going to be there this year?
I believe so. That is the game plan. So when we go to Sun Belt Media Day, I usually play Passenger Princess. I ride down there with Matt Stoltz. I do Matt Stoltz books like all of the guests, all of the interview, he talks to all of the coaches. He talks to the SIDs. He talks to Sun Belt communications, and I plan out where everybody's going to go eat. So that is how the division of labor works for Sun Belt Conference Media Day, which I'm not going to lie. I make good choices. I showed up with beignets a couple of times. So a fun fact, Coach Beckett, Coastal Carolina, has never had a beignet. So somebody needs to fix that coming up in 2024. But yeah, that's how Sunbelt Media Day works. I'm literally just there. I show up and I talk into a microphone and I eat beignets.
Great. That's what we do.
That's my job description. And then I got to deal with somebody that's usually hungover and still covered in stamps from Bourbon Street the night before.
This is great. Like, I'll come shambling down in my smoking jacket and Tibbs will be like, yeah, I already had 5 interviews. So, okay, great.
So I have a love-hate relationship with any adventure I go on with Matt Stoltz, because without fail, if I'm working with him, we have to be on air at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I've been awake in New Orleans before at 5:30, not like because an alarm is going off and I have to be productive, you know? So that was watching the sunrise in New Orleans on purpose last year was a little bit different.
While we're on the note of Sunbelt Media Day, who's the person that you love seeing the most at Sunbelt Media Day that you don't necessarily get to see on a day in, day out basis?
Oh, is this question for me?
Yeah.
Or is it for anybody or for the group?
For you.
Well, it's not for Shane because he never goes.
Yeah, Shane's never been. We don't care.
I just like, so, and this is actually somebody I see fairly frequently because obviously he's in town a lot, but Jay Walker, voice.
I do it.
That's my guy. That's my buddy. I love hanging out with Jay. Also, voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, is awesome. Awesome to hang out with. So, and of course, those guys, all of the play-by-play guys have a group chat. So you get, so they're all really close. You get to hear some of their stories, some of their shenanigans. But I know last year when we went out to dinner, it was me, Jay, Danny, Matt, and then some additional Jonesboro media. And we went and ate at Felix's and it was just a great night. So just kind of that general getting to see everybody. There's some really good camaraderie around this league. I think because several of us have been doing this for a little bit and we've seen this league kind of grow together and kind of change together and you've built like some long distance friendships and you've gotten to see the change and the positive and it's been really cool. So I love Sunbelt Media Day, not partly for the food and the beignets, but just getting to see everybody and interact and all of that and getting your game face on for the football season.
So Kara, we've had some people leave the Sun Belt, some coaches leave. Is there a particular coach that you are like, kind of like, oh man, I wish he's going to be back because he's just kind of fun to talk to and be around?
You know, last year we had an absolute blast on the show with John Sumrall, and it had nothing to do with myself and with Matt Stoltz. It's because A-State's Butch Jones straight up hijacked our interview. Like, he came over, Coach Sumrall had just sat down with us, and then Butch came over and like grabbed the other headset. And the next thing you know, it was like a stepbrother skit or something between John and Butch. Like, I asked zero questions. I was not involved in the interview in any way, shape, or form. I was just along for the ride. But I liked Coach Sumrall. I liked Coach Elliott a lot as well. Both of those guys were really easy to talk to. I'm not going to miss Kurt Cignetti. See ya.
Oh, I was going to say, that's the guy I'm going to miss the most is Kurt Cignetti, because he was so intense and so frightening and so intimidating. But I'm telling you, that's how Tibbs feels about Elliott. He always thought he was going to get ahead.
Really? Elliott was like on the verge of just roid raging on me, and I feel like I did nothing to deserve said roid rage. And then what was kind of funny was, I said that in jest, you know, there was really no beef between us, but he kind of went out of his way and made sure he was like, okay, are you all right with this interview? And I was like, yeah, man, I'm good. You know, we're just cutting up and having fun. So
I like Coach Cignetti. I'll tell you why. He's gone. And I know that he could be cold and he could be arrogant, but man, it's like every year he would find something that would piss him off and he would use it as like toxic fuel to like propel them into the tournament. Like, one year was because they were picked to finish last. The first year they were in the conference, they picked us last. How dare they? And then they went ahead and like had that great season. And then the year after that, it was, well, they're saying I can't do it again because I have a new quarterback. How dare they? And he used that fuel to win the Sun Belt East. So that's what I like.
We didn't even get angry, Cignetti. Like every coach, every person who goes to these, like you know you have to play the game, right? Like you're talking for 12 hours. I know it gets monotonous. I know everybody is asking the same questions and wanting the same answers and all of that. But like he like refused to play the game, refused to just, I felt talked down to. And I don't enjoy that. I would have been fine with angry Cignetti, but we got like put upon Cignetti, and I didn't enjoy it. Didn't.
Jane, is this the Cignetti that you know and love?
I think put upon is a probably pretty accurate way to describe how he feels with the media a lot of the time. And get ready for the exact opposite experience with Bob Chesney at media. Okay. He's going to be in his element out there in New Orleans.
I tell you what, listening to that story about Butch Jones and John Sumrall cracks me up, because Butch Jones is probably one of the most publicly, the most scripted guy I know. Like, he'll just go from place to place with the same sort of intro and same sort of stories, and he repeats them almost all year long. Like, it becomes his, like, circular storytelling. And to hear that he actually, like, sort of got off script and had a good time with John Sumrall live on a radio show just sounds pretty exciting to me.
I think with all of Butch's years at Tennessee, there had to be a pretty significant like media wall put up at a certain point in time. And slowly but surely, since he's been in Jonesboro, he's relaxed. You know, I know the first year that he was here, you know, practices were closed, and he was very specific about who he could talk to and couldn't talk to assistants. And he wanted to be the voice of the program and things like that, because he had to do that at Tennessee, or things were going to be misinterpreted, taken out of context, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And every year it's gotten a little bit more relaxed. Okay, you guys can come to this practice, but maybe, you know, don't mention this. Or, all right, you know what? I tell you what, we've hired some new coaches. You guys can catch up with them. He does still send us the same players over and over to talk to. He's got his guys that he trusts and he leans on, but that's okay. That's okay. You know, most coaches are not sending out their true freshmen to the media, but, you know, he's even done that a couple of times. So he's relaxed. We've gotten to see more, a little bit of the person over the past few years, and he went from being kind of very standoffish with the media to he's been really good to us lately, and I appreciate it. He's always available when I ask for an interview or have questions or anything like that.
So I know Shane is struggling with this, because, well, Shane's a legitimate journalist. I don't know if Tibbs is, because he's more of a recruit guy. I'm having trouble with it because I'm not a journalist. I'm just a provocateur. But it's June content season,
yeah,
and it's coming into July content season. What are you doing on the ticket to survive these barren hot months?
Well, I was sad to say farewell to Coach Tommy Raffo. Loved Coach Raffo. He was great to us. But to have a major coaching search in the month of June gives you content, obviously. So I know that's been a huge story over the past week. I need you to stop. Sorry. That's been a major story over the past week. And so there's been content there, but I always remind myself when it gets to June and there's nothing going on, that like, as a media group, we survived COVID together when there was nothing. There were no games. There was nothing. I had a friend ask me once, it was like, what did you talk about? I was like, well, it was the bullshittiest bullshit I've ever bullshitted in my life. So since we survived that, we can do anything else. So I give it like 3 weeks until we'll be talking about baseball movies or something like that. I don't know. If you're like me, you were like scouring the internet for something to talk about. Some random dude's blog where he rates Sunbelt mascots or describes Sunbelt programs as beers. And you're like, yes, we will go with that. We will do 2 hours on that today. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that must be hard to fill that up. Shane, do you have like a spreadsheet of June, July content that you have prepared and ready to fill?
No, I actually was thinking earlier today that I need to make a list of like what I'm going to write for the next couple weeks. I have a couple of interviews. Like, you know, I spent 20 minutes talking to a new JMU basketball coach, Preston Spradlin, on the phone, and I'm going to use every single second of it for something along before I talk to him again. So, you know, that there are things in November that sometimes never leave the notebook. And in June, you totally empty the notebook and the recorder when you've got anything.
Because then you're left with recasting Game of Thrones with Sunbelt assistant coaches. That's what you end up doing. You're just like, okay, who is the Jaime Targaryen of the Sunbelt? But yeah, that's rough. It's June, July. We're all trying to get through it. We saw a little bit of him. Your dog, Crash Davis, in the background. How is he thinking about it? What's his mood on the new baseball program? The stuff that's taking shape. Have you talked to Crash? Has he let you know his thoughts and opinions?
Well, Crash has had a very stressful day. The roofers showed up at my neighbor's house at 6:30 this morning. And then it's the same company that did my roof, and they needed to take a quick look at my skylight. So there were people on my roof at like 7. So he thought it was an entire team of sky assassins coming to murder us. And then I had to go to work and left him by himself. So he's been a little overwhelmed. You know, it's not a sports season. I can't bring him a convo dog right now to calm him down. So he's just like, now he's losing his mind because there's like a raccoon or a serial killer in the backyard. I don't know. It might be a ghost. But it's just been, it's been hectic. It's been hectic around the Richie household today.
Yeah, ever give him just random hot dogs and tell him it's a convo dog?
Absolutely not. No. First off, so he's got a horrible, he's got some tum-tum issues. So this is a 130-pound dog that has to have special food. I am about 2 months away from selling a kidney. So he literally, we do not do people food. He gets pizza crust. And then he gets like once a month when it's basketball season, he'll get a convo dog, and that's it. Because if not, we're talking about like house clearing farts, and I just cannot handle it. Like I can't remember when it was, but I'd been out all night and I came home and I guess he had just ripped one, and I spent 15 minutes going around my house trying to figure out if I had like a sewage blockage or something, because it was just, I was so scared. I was about to have to call the plumber. It was going to be $10,000 a day. No. It was just really bad. Crash Davis fart.
I think Jeremy's wife said the same thing after a basketball season for him.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I tell you what though, I eat 2 convo dogs at a basketball game. I am farting all the way back to Little Rock. That is a rough road to hoe.
But so quick aside, is Arkansas State the only Group of 5 program in a dry county?
Ooh. Shane, is Harrisonburg a dry county? In a dry county?
No.
Is Monroe in a dry county?
No.
There's no point in asking the Louisiana person. Like, that's
that was kind of silly.
When I was in college, though, it was no sales on Sunday, so you had to go south of I-20 to be able to buy it.
Yeah, that's
that was about as close as they came to being dry.
All right, let's imagine what cities or Sunbelt cities could be dry. Like, I think of Mississippi. I think they're kind of tight. So maybe Hattiesburg? Do you think maybe?
No, I mean, I think Hattiesburg's like too far south and too popular. I feel like if it's going to be, I mean, do they have dry counties in Alabama?
Yes, they do.
Troy's not a hugely populated community.
Yeah, that's a good question to ask. Because I've been through Troy, and I could see them being total teetotalers down there at Troy. Who else? Not Marshall. Marshall sounds like a party town.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. That's not the name of the town there.
I mean, and Marcus, no, they're between Austin and San Antonio. They get down.
There's a Bear River that flows through campus.
Yeah, that place looks gorgeous. There's no to Atlanta, Statesboro. I think they just bottle up whatever's in Eagle Creek, and it's like 80 proof. So that's, I mean, they sell that. That's fine.
Yeah, there's no way that Conway, South Carolina, would be dry, right?
Not on the beach. I guess in Boone, maybe weed could be legal and alcohol could be illegal. I don't know.
It's legal, but I think they still drink some moonshine.
Okay.
I don't think that's what they mean by the Smoky Mountains, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, so really, it boils down to we need to ask somebody from Troy. Maybe we'll get old Whitehead on the show again, and he can let us.
There's this incredible website called Google where you could also just look this up.
I'm glad that you took us up on our very, very last second offer to come on the show. And you came, you were on fire. You had all the cannons loaded. You knew exactly what to say about new head coach, new baseball head coach for Arkansas State. Mike Silva?
Yeah. Oh, fun fact. Yeah. He used to be a hockey player.
Oh, okay. So he'll be used to, he's accustomed to getting into fist fights. Which
I guess so.
Won't happen because it's nothing but peace and love in Jonesboro. You can find Kara Ritchie on the Twitters, on the X. What's your handle, Kara?
It's at Kara _ Ritchie.
So on that note, though, Jeremy, you talked about the dry season. It's not dry because we just recapped or capped off the baseball season.
Yeah.
All four teams, they made it to the quote-unquote Sunday. They were playing for a berth in the Super Regional. Nobody advanced, but we were still there, still in contention. So that was a great way to cap off a good baseball season. And some guys get to keep going. Because the Cape Cod League, the premier college baseball league of the summer, there's about 15 guys from the Sun Belt Conference that are up in the northeastern part of the U.S. still taking part in the league. These are guys like Caden Bodine, the catcher from Coastal Carolina. Right. Chase Moore, middle infielder from Texas State. Davis Gillespie, outfielder from Southern Miss. Mike Mancini from the Fighting Dukes.
Okay.
And then the Chatham Anglers. They're a red colored team already. They've had three Raging Cajuns already on their roster. And that's just kind of the highlights of what we have going on. Shane, you're a baseball guy, unlike Jeremy.
Yeah.
Is the Cape Cod still really as good of a league as it was? Or do you feel that it's kind of a, we know you're good, it's no longer the guys flying under the radar?
You know, I think it's still a good baseball league. I think the summer collegiate leagues might be struggling a little bit just in general as far as like getting guys out there. But, you know, I think Cape Cod's always going to be an interesting one to watch because it's going to be good players. It's going to be guys with pro potential. And then they get to go play against each other and show what they can do in the summer.
Jeremy, do you know if any Arkansas State player has ever made it to the Cape Cod League? And I mean that in sincerity.
I am absolutely unaware of any Arkansas State player, but quite frankly, I'm not even very aware of the Cape Cod League. You bring this up, you brought this up last year. It was news to me then, and it's news to me now. So it's like,
it is the league for summer guys to make a name for themselves, to get ready for the MLB draft. If not this year, to make a name for themselves, to have their name called next year.
All right. Well, I will keep that on my radar because I normally don't. But going back to Sunbelt baseball in the tournament, I did want to ask you guys. I felt I was less disappointed this year than I was last year. And I think it was because we actually hosted some places last year. And we had teams that seemed to have a lot more promise and they didn't really get very far. And this year, the teams that we had four teams again, which was cool, but they weren't quite like the super favorites like they had been in the past. Did you guys feel like this season we did okay in the tournament, even though we didn't get past that first round?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I mean, I think all four teams made what is essentially the regional final. It's weird because of double elimination and everything, but I think all of them were playing with an opportunity to go to a super regional. And, you know, that makes them what? Like kind of top 40-ish type teams in the country. And that seems about right for the top teams in the conference this year. Whereas, like you said, last year we had some Sunbelt teams hosting. And when you host, you really kind of feel like you ought to end up in the super regional. And that was a disappointment last year.
Yes. Did you feel the same way, Tibbs?
Yeah, I thought that we should have had some hosts. I thought Troy should have slipped in. over Florida. I say that even with Florida being in the top eight, so to say, and in Omaha. But, you know, I'm cheering for the Gators now as the underdog since it's an all ACC, SEC matchup. I'll stick the SEC and the unranked, unmanned Florida Gators and stand by that, though, that they shouldn't be there and Troy should have been in to begin with.
All right. Okay. We stand by. You're standing by. You've got a friend in me and Shay. Shane and I will never let you down.
That's not a true story. On to football news, though. The first of the many preseason all-conference teams came out with Athlon naming transfer quarterback Jordan McLeod first-team quarterback for your Viva La Boobcats.
Yeah, all right.
Shane, do you think that that's fair? I mean, I know a lot of this is based on what you did last year, but even if he's at James Madison, it's not the same coaching staff. It's not going to be the same offense. He doesn't have the same tools that he had last year. I don't like these type of selections of really just kind of handing him the Sun Belt Player of the Year almost when you're on a different team, you have different tools, you have different everything. You're really not the Jordan McLeod of last year.
Yeah. It's not something we've seen a lot of ever, is it? Like where a guy is the returning player of the year, but in a completely different and not even in the same school. Every once in a while you'll see maybe a different coach in place, but you kind of expect the guy to at least be comfortable where he's at and everything. And we don't know anything about, you know, what Jordan McLeod in San Marcos looks like, but I still kind of get the idea that like, okay, the player of the year is returning. He's first team all conference. That makes sense to me, but I'm very curious to see how it works out because it's hard to remember something like that ever happening, not just in the Sun Belt. I can't remember that happening really anywhere in college football where the conference player of the year is back in the conference, but in a different school.
Yeah, that's going to make for some great intrigue. I did notice in the Athlon selections, Texas State and Arkansas State, of all teams, had the most selections. Did you find that surprising?
No, I feel like that's the top two teams in the Sun Belt West. And really looking at the league as a whole, that's got to be your front runners for winning it all. I think that big matchup that they have in the head-to-head in that divisional series will really propel them into the championship game. So, yeah, why not reward the top two teams with the most nods?
Yeah, a lot of good talent on both sides. That's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, any other football news tips that you want to share? Or do you want to talk a little bit more about the selections? Did you see, you know, it's hard to look at those. I think they have like four teams. Like, so they don't really miss, I think, in terms of, you know, who's projected to be good and who's not.
Yeah, I mean, they have four teams. There's nobody really of like, oh, I can't believe that guy's on there. More like I would have put Joey Aguilar of App State as the number one, Jordan McLeod maybe on the third team, maybe even the fourth team.
I was wondering where you were coming with that. Okay, wow, okay.
Because we know what he's going to have. Yes, you're always going to have some roster turnover from graduation portal and all that, but we know what he's capable of. We know the same type of offense that Ponce is going to call for the Mountaineers. I think that's a completely different setup coming into the season for Aguilar as opposed to McLeod.
No, well, that's an interesting take, but I don't think it's a bad take. Okay. All right. I like that.
I think we'll see. There, you know, there's been kind of like the, I don't want to say accusation, but like there's been kind of talk like that all these successful guys JMU have had come through. Is it the system? Is it the coaches more than those players? And, you know, this is an opportunity for McLeod to kind of prove otherwise. And, you know, J.G. Kinney's also a really great quarterback coach. So we'll see how it ends up working out for him. I think he has a chance to do really well, but it's not something we've ever really seen before.
A guy that I want to watch out for this upcoming year for Coastal Carolina, he's on the fourth team, Braden Bennett, from Coastal Carolina at the running back position. I think that their running game is really going to have to be established to allow that offense to thrive this upcoming year, not knowing really what they have on the quarterback side with Guess being out. Who is it? Visco is coming back at the quarterback position. Not sure if he's going to be the starter coming in. So that running game is going to be key for the Shunts.
You stunned us. Yeah, they're going to have to be able to run the ball. They don't have Grayson McCall anymore.
And for that, we're thankful. What else do y'all have?
I have noticed that since I got really high on A-State basketball a few weeks ago, that other teams have made some pretty significant moves in terms of the transfer portal and through recruiting. Georgia State, one of those programs, grabbing a bunch of guys, grabbing a bunch of quality guys. You know, they had a lot of turnover. I think they have more transfer guys than anybody else in the league, so that makes a lot of sense. But they really have done a lot of work. And then James Madison, who seems to just be grabbing really just excellent talent from left to right. New head coach there at James Madison, looking to make his mark, and he seems to be doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we should stop talking about Arkansas State. I think they're going to be really good. But
I'm going to be talking about Arkansas State until you guys want to choke me. I'm just saying that.
The teams that you mentioned have been getting it done in the offseason too, and I think having the two teams that played in the Sun Belt Championship game last year also having really good off seasons is an opportunity for people to be talking about Sun Belt basketball when October and November rolls around and thinking like, hey, this is a good mid-major league, kind of combining both what happened last year and the teams not, you know, sometimes the best team in the conference kind of has to rebuild. We saw it a little bit with Louisiana last year. They didn't really get to build off their momentum, but I think both JMU and Arkansas State can build off the momentum they had at the end of last year. And that kind of helps the conference as a whole, as far as reputation goes.
And see, here's my theory on that. My theory is that with football being consolidated as mostly a Big Ten and SEC sport, I mean, they've grabbed all the brand names. There's only two big brand names left, Florida State and Clemson, and they're itching to get out of the ACC, right? They'll end up at the Big Ten or the SEC too. So you got these two conferences that have pretty much said, hey, we want big-time football. You guys, the rest of you guys can F off. It seems to me that the group of 6.5, that's what I'm calling everybody else now, the group of 6.5 have to find other playing surfaces to shine on. And that's baseball and basketball. And I'm wondering if there's going to be a greater attention to those sports from that group of 6.5 now that they're seeing that Fox Sports and ESPN Sports has pretty much taken over football. Have I stunned you guys?
No, I just hadn't heard from Dusty for a while, so I was going to let him.
Well, I mean, you know, I talk, no one listens. It's all good.
Well, that's true.
Yes.
No.
Well, Dusty, do you think there's any credence in that? I wrote a whole article about that. I know you guys read it on HowRazor.com, but
sure. No, I mean, football's king. We all know that. But I think that the money that is to be had in the NCAA tournament and even the NIT tournament, since that is owned by the NCAA, that teams are going to want to squeeze every penny they can out of those tournaments and show their dominance across the board. So, yeah, everything's going to be in the limelight more than it was in the past, where you could be a good basketball school and, yeah, we field football, but, you know, we're a baseball school, we're a basketball school, whatever. You got to be good across the board going forward to really kind of carry your weight. And I think that's what we're seeing with your P5 and the G6.5.
G6.5. Can we make that a thing?
Sounds like a new Believe shop t-shirt.
I think so. Yes, I will work on that post haste.
Quick show note, former show guest, Tom Burnett, former commissioner of the Southland Conference and associate commissioner of the Sunbelt Conference that helped get football started in the league, headed to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame in the coming months.
Well deserved. Well done.
That's all I have.
Well, you know, we thought we were going to have kind of a shit show, didn't we? And look, we had a pretty full show. We delivered great information to our view, our listening audience.
Despite our best efforts.
And there were many good efforts. Yes.
So plugs, promos, and parting shots. Jeremy, kick us off with your long-winded rambles.
I don't have a real long-winded ramble tonight. I was just going to go ahead and give you a preview of the next Hellraiser article. I reached out to the smartest, the most powerful, the most pertinent, the most penetrating voices of the Sun Belt. Reached out to them to get some information about their upcoming football teams. I asked
and Shane. Also me.
Yeah, well, Shane, you are like the crown jewel and the people I've asked. But I've reached out to a lot of our old guests, for instance. Like Kara Ritchie, I've reached out to. I reached out to Tibbs. Asking, you know, the transfer portal has become such a huge part of building a program, building a football roster now. You know, it used to be that you would sort of go into the transfer portal and pull out maybe a guy who could, you know, be on the second team defense to, you know, shore up something. Or maybe you pull out a guy who would create some ripples amongst the fan base. You'd be like, oh, that guy from Alabama. Now it's such an important part of roster building. So I asked each and every one of you, who is that one transfer guy that your team's got this year that's going to make the biggest impact and why? I've almost got it all compiled. I thank everybody who participated. You'll see I gave everybody plenty of kudos. Look for that in the next, hopefully in the next couple of days. One of those guys I asked, by the way, our good friend Ben from Georgia State. He's a little late. Still waiting on you, Ben.
Shane, what do you have?
A little bit of parting shot, kind of going back to our earlier discussion. And keep it short, but you know, we talked about the corporate logos on the field and what fits for each team. What I really just want to see is I want to see rivalries carried over into that. So like if ULL goes with Raising Cane's, then I want to see Zaxby's in the middle of ULM's field, or you know, if App State goes with Home Depot, then Georgia Southern ought to have Lowe's. And let's take these rivalries to another level.
You know what Kurt Cignetti would do? He would put up enough cash to put like the Duke's logo on Appalachian State's field. He would buy that.
Is that kind of like how the conference tournament sponsored by Troy and James Madison's alumni associations?
Yes. That's it exactly. Yeah. All right, Tibbs, you don't escape. Now, go on. What is it? What is your parting shot? What is your promo and plug?
We missed last week because schedules get in the way, life gets in the way, and we didn't want to ramble on for meaningless nothings. But it was announced last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, the Negro Leagues will be counted in the Major League Baseball record book going forward, which is absolutely huge. These guys played hurt. They played multiple games a day, throwing 18, 27 innings literally every day. And finally, the fruits of their labor are rewarded. One of my favorite all-time players, Josh Gibson, as the pudgy catcher that I always wanted to be, is your new batting record holder with a 466 career average.
Never
in
gonna
1943. Suck it. You're never beating that record. Long overdue. I'm glad it's coming to fruition. Long live the King, King Gibson.
Yeah, I remember when that came out, I was of two minds. I was like, oh, yeah, it's not really MLB. And then somebody made some good points. And it's a point I had heard before, but I'd forgotten. It's like these players from the Negro Leagues and Major League Baseball players at the same time, they weren't, like you'll say, well, you know, they weren't playing Major League competition. Well, neither was Major Leagues. I mean, when you leave out an entire segment of athletes, you're not playing the best people. So it's just fair and just to bring in these Negro League statistics into Major League statistics. I don't see how you can complain against that. Actually, I haven't seen many complaints. Shane, do you see an argument against it?
Not really. Like you said, I mean, whether you were white or black, you weren't playing against everybody. And so you're playing against the best people of your race, and whether, you know, so it fits either way. And plus, you go back, like, we think of the major leagues as today's American League, today's National League. But you go back to, you know, early, you know, late 1800s and stuff, and there's Federal League and all these other ones that were always included too. So, like, yeah, it's not like it's just what we think of as modern baseball. It's always been some mixture in there. And I think the Negro major leagues belong in there too, because there was high level baseball being played at the top of the Negro leagues.
You know what's one thing that's kind of wild about baseball? And first of all, baseball is very centered on its statistics. You know, like, more so than I think even football and basketball. Like, baseball fans just sort of have an encyclopedic mind about baseball records. You know, we all know that 300 is a good batting average. We all know that you hit 500 home runs and have 3,000 hits, that's a sure way to get into the Hall of Fame. I mean, there's just things that you associate, numbers that you associate with baseball that you immediately come to mind. You know, you see a passer rating on a football player, what the hell is that? You don't even know what that means. But baseball has always had very concrete numbers. But baseball has always also been sort of in a sort of an evolution position, right? You lower the mound in 1968. You know, for a while there, all baseball stadiums were supposed to be uniform. Now they're not, and today they're not. You know, you can have a different home run lengths. You know, Mel Ott hit 500 home runs at the Polo Grounds. Had a very notoriously short right field fence. Do you count that along with some of the other home run hitters who had much bigger, like, for instance, Yankee Stadium was a cavern. You know, Babe Ruth hit 700 home runs out there. So to me, baseball, you know, is a perfect place for inclusion of these type of records, if only to say because baseball has always been sort of fluid in terms of how it collects its data, how it collects its records, and how it judges its best players.
Just know, though, Jeremy, Shane, pitchers still should have to grab a bat and hit.
Absolutely, 100%.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.